Very happy to be here to give an in-person talk again. So today I will talk about the reduced needs of quiver varieties. And this is the outline of my talk. In the first part, I will give a brief review of the quiver varieties. And in the second part, I will state the main result and the idea of the proof. And in the last part, I will give one of the application to the index computation. So let me start. Let me start with the definition, quiver varieties. Definition. Let Q be a quiver, Q0, Q1 be a quiver, Q0 is the set of nodes, and this is a set of, Q1 is the set of edges. And we define a representation. So let me just draw some of the quiver. One example, like this and this. And you can have multiple other edges and nodes as well. One example. So a representation. Q of dimension V. V is VI. I think not is a collection of matrices. One, XA belongs to home space from CV, head of the arrow to tail of arrow. Sorry, tail, the other way around. And isomorphism between representations of Q is a collection of isomorphisms I Q0. Where GI element in GL VI such that it intertwines the representations. XA2 is G head of A. Act on XA1, G tail of A, inverse. And let us use the notation GLV. Notation GLV is defined as product of all GL group on each VI. Remark. By definition, we see that let C star diagonal, the diagonal embedding of the scalar matrices into GLB, and it acts trivially. On any representations. So we define a refined gauge transformation GB to be the GLV modulo this diagonal group. That's the actual gauge group that we will consider. Now we have GV X on, let's say this is the set, the vector space of representations is R Q V of dimension V. The linear space of reps of dimension V. So there's a natural action of gauge group GV acting on a set of representations. This induces a natural action on the cotangent bundle mark. Well, the cotangent bundle can be naturally identified with another quiver for the doubling wrap of the doubling denoted by Q bar V, where the nodes of Q bar is the same as the nodes of Q. Whereas the arrows are doubled, so which is the original arrows and its reverse direction. Its reverse direction. Oh, yes, this one. All right. Okay. Let us write down the symplectic form of the cotangent bundle. There's a natural symplectic form. Omega between representation X and Y is defined as summation of edges of trace XA YA bar minus trace of XA bar YA. So this notation means that we take the reverse, A bar is the reverse arrow of A. And the action, then the action on the cotangent bundle is Hamiltonian. With movement map mu is from maps from wrap of Q bar V to the dual of gauge Lie algebra. remark that we can actually write it down. This is matrices MI belong to GL. It's the endomorphism of CVI with the condition that sum of traces is zero, because this is the dual of the diagonal. Okay. Let us just write down the formula for the formula for the Mohmian map UXI. This is where I is a vertex, zero. This is sum of head A equals to I, A bar minus sum of equals to I, X, A bar. XA. So let me do one example that I believe that physicists are very familiar with. Example, consider the following. Q is this quiver. And let the representation be, this is n, this is 1. So let me parameterize the representation for Q bar as the following. This is n, matrix y, matrix x, I and J. This is called the ADHM quiver. And the Mohmian map of X, Y, I, J. This is just X, Y plus ij minus ji. This is the vertex for n, this is vertex for 1. Okay.
Over
time. Let's define stability condition. Let theta be a character of GV, i.e. a map from G to product of a collection of G, determinant of GI raised to the power theta I, such that, because we have to model the diagonal scalars, such that summation of, it is easy to check that summation of bi theta I must be 0. From now on, we just use this notation, V dot theta equals to 0. By geometric invariant theory, we can talk about theta semi-stable representations. One of the equivalent definitions for the theta semi-stability is the following. Let X be a rep of the double quiver is called theta stable if for any sub-representation we have theta dot y is less than equal to this, less than 0. And similarly, we call representation is semi-stable if same thing, but theta dot y, and the dimension of y, sorry, and y is less than equal to 0. So here we know that theta is a character, which means that theta I are integers. But in fact, we have the following observation. Observe that theta semi-stability is equivalent to some positive. You can have k belongs to d plus. Semi-stable. Because you multiply by k here in the equations, does not change anything. So, there's no pull on this side. So, we can fractionalize and use Q instead of Z. So whenever we talk about some stability condition which lives in Q, we actually means that we multiply by some positive integers to make it to be integral. Okay. Notation, introduce a notation, call this big theta to be the space of theta I such that summation of theta I equals to 0. Summation of theta I dot VI, we satisfy that condition. Here, this condition. Lemma, the space of theta semi-stable and the space of theta stable are Narski Open in the representation space. Let us go back to this board to see this guy, this example in the ADHM quiver. Where's the eraser? Maybe there. We can take, let's say theta plus to be one, and the same dimension vector here, minus n. So this forces this stability condition to be minus n. We can take theta minus to be minus one, n.
I have a question, please.
Sure.
This notations belong to graphical calculus or not?
Sorry?
This notations on the board on the left, this notations belong to graphical calculus or not?
Graphical calculus?
Graphical calculus.
I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with that.
Pictures of quivers.
Okay,
pictures of pictures of quivers, not Feynman diagrams.
Okay, thank
you. Well, they're diagrams, but they're not, well, they're not five. They're not Feynman diagrams. There'll be diagrams that give rise to Lagrangians in physical theories. Okay. So let us write down the stability condition explicitly in these examples. So here, actually, I need to double it. And I'm using the same notation here. So theta plus stable. It means that for any subspace of Cn such that this is stabilized by x and y. And is annihilated by j. Then s must be zero. This is the theta plus stability condition. Similarly, you can write down the theta minus stability condition, which is a reverse of everything. Let's write down here, theta minus, this is for any subspace of Cn, well, stabilized by x and y, and it contains the image of I, then T must be the whole space. Okay. I don't think I can move this part. So let us write here. introduce a notation. This is z
equals to
lambda I times identity of vi, such that sum of lambda I vi equals to 0. This is considered as a subspace of GV, dual of Lie algebra. Now we define a quiver variety. M theta, theta is some stability condition, and lambda, theta belongs to the space of stability condition. Lambda belongs to the set of Z that we just defined. QV is the pre-image of lambda, and we take the theta semi-stable part and modeled out by the gauge group action. This is categorical quotient. And we also introduce a universal family for this kind of varieties that is easy to guess. We just take the whole family Z. V, this is inverse image of Z. Take theta semi stability module V. And we have the following lemma to characterize those schemes. Lemma and theta lambda q v. This is isomorphic to approach of the direct sum functions on pre-image that has weight n times theta. This is weight n theta on the GV. It is easy to see that. So if we take theta goes to zero, then this means that the functions on, this means that in particular, M0 lambda to V, it is a fine variety. And is Reno functions, this is just environment part.
What is Z again?
Sorry. Z? This one?
The space Z that you choose lambda from?
Oh, this is the space of deformations. Lambda I times identity of V on VI such that they satisfy this, okay, this relation.
So
yeah. Dual, yes.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. So I think I think I can remove this part. So in particular, this lemma implies that there exists a projective morphism, projective map from M theta to zero stability. Okay. Some remarks about the definition. Remark one is that pointwisely, points in the modular space that we just introduced. This is 1-to-1 correspond to closed GV orbit in this set. And this is in turn 1-to-1 correspond to theta polystable representations. By polystable, I mean X is direct sum, X1 direct sum to XR such that XI are theta stable. Remark two is that in physics we usually can talk about the frame quivers. That is a quiver with a some representation space V, and we also have a framing node. It's like following. This is one of the examples. And in the definition of the, so this is basically the representation space is again the direct sum of arrows between those nodes, but the gauge group is only taking those nodes of those gauge nodes. But the framing node is not part of the gauge group. So, and it turns out that frame quivers is actually equivalent to, this is equivalent to unframed quivers. Let us use the notation QD, VD. This is usually called the Korolev V trick. Let me explain the quiver QD. The sets of nodes are basically the same, but we add a new, let's call it infinity. And its arrows are the usual one, but with a bunch of arrows from infinity to I, to arbitrary I, and the number here is WI. So let me do an example. Sorry, I haven't introduced VD. So VD, VDI, for I belongs to Q0, this is VI. And VD infinity is 1. So, example, our favorite example, the ADH of quiver. And K. And this is equivalent to, let's take N. And this is 1. But now there are K arrows here. And also there's a map for the stability condition and the deformation parameters. Basically, it's defined as following. It's theta maps to theta d, where the di is same as theta I, and it's theta infinity. This is minus theta dot v, which is minus theta I vi. And similarly for lambda. Lambda is the same here. I should explain here. So here, the gauge group is GLN. And here, this is the gauge group is GLN times GL1, modulo GL1. And this is isomorphic to GLN. Yeah, before, for frame quiver, I don't modulo the diagonal.
Be a vector or something?
Yeah, these are vector. Yeah, D is the I Q0.
Did the I show up in the
LC
showing up in the
here, so
you wrote W.
Yeah. This one.
How you
draw,
you
W. Oh, so sorry. Oh, yeah, that was my mistake. Okay, so let us come to the geometry of the quiver variety. So in general, these quiver varieties, they are highly singular. But if you take the reduced part, so when I say M theta lambda, this is a scheme.
So let us take the reduced part, which reduced subscheme structure. This is reduced scheme structure. This has symplectic singularities. So basically, previously we introduced a symplectic form on the we have a symplectic form on T star of R. And by taking this symplectic reduction, we get a symplectic form on the Bourdieu space. We get a Poisson structure. Lambda. And after going to the reduced scheme structure, they have it is shown that by Bellamy and Schedler. That there exists a resolution beta lambda be reduced. It's a resolution. Such that the pullback, it is known that this Poisson structure is symplectic on the smooth locus of the quiver variety. So let's pull back this regular part. This extends to a global form on the resolution. This is definition of the symplectic singularities. In their paper, Bellamy and Schedler, they made this following conjecture. That the quiver variety is actually reduced, so there's no need to take the reduced scheme structure. And my result is that the conjecture is true given that the movement map is flat. And how much time do I have? Yeah. It's 220. So let me briefly explain the idea of the proof. Let me write down the result. Theorem. That M theta lambda is reduced if the moment map is flat. So, long story in short, the theorem is proved by induction on the following object, which is sum of vi, using reduction to codimension one argument. So in order for this reduction step to make sense, we need the flatness here. So let me explain in more detail. Reduction one is that the following lemma. For any point in the Hodge space, there exists a new quiver U prime with V prime, such that the local singularities are the same. We take the point x and take the completion. This is isomorphic to m0, 0, u prime, v prime, and take completion at a zero representation, trivial representation. Moreover,
you don't
want to
have like a times and
a
half space
term? That comes from the things like this, right? This is absorbed in this. Moreover, the new moment map mu prime is flat if the previous the old moment map is flat. No, it's not if and only if, because this only remembers the x point. If and only if the moment map is flat at the pre-image of x. So basically this lemma tells us that we can focus on 0-0 case. We don't need to worry about non-trivial deformation or non-trivial stability condition. Am I running out of time? Okay. And the second part is for me, consider this situation, m theta 0 qv. Well, although this lemma implies that we only need to work out the 0-0 case, we need to prove the 0-0 case using the non-zero part. So consider this such that theta is generic then it is not hard to prove the theorem in this case. So we know that when theta is remark. If theta is generic, and V is indivisible, we cannot write at K times W, where K is positive integers greater than or equal to 2. Then this implies that the Mohr space, the lambda is actually smooth. So for generic stability, the equivariety is actually the singularity is actually very good. And consider the following. Consider the projection map M theta Z to M zero Z. This is, you can show that this is birational. Where theta is generic. Well, this is true in general, but when theta is generic, M theta z is normal. And we have the following lemma. If M0, Z is normal, then M00 is reduced. This is basically because you can consider push forward, derive push forward of structure shift on M theta Z, you can show that if M zero Z is normal, then this derived push forward is accessible to two O M zero Z. And this derived push forward commutes with specialized two fibers. This implies that O of M00, this is just a global section of structure shift on M theta 0, which is not, this is reduced. So our task is to show that the M0z is normal. And here comes our reduction to code dimension 1 argument that everyone loves, because to show that something is normal, we need to, the normality is equivalent to a regular at code mesh 1 and Sears S2 condition. And this can be shown by the code mesh 1 argument. Okay. I think it's 2:30 now. I need to wrap up the talk. Yeah. Let me wrap up by explaining the application of this reducing its result to the computation of index. The point is that we actually prove that P 0 from M theta 0 to M 0, 0 is a birational map. Between normal varieties. So if you take M00, the function is just the global section of M theta 0 of the structure sheaf. And usually, as we have shown, that if the dimension vector is indivisible, this equivalent variety with generic stability condition is smooth. So this, usually this can be computable by this one? No. You can show that there's a higher cohomology vanish by Gaurd randomizer vanishing theorem. Computable by localization. Actually, you can also compute the left hand side using this the causal resolution. So let's record that this is just M00. This is just you inverse zero modulo the group action. And this means that this is isomorph Q, C of R bar V derive tensor product with over GV star and take the environment part. And this has a nice, this can be computed using the causal resolution, causal resolve C plus Moylan Y integration. Okay, I just stop here. No. Actually, I want to mention that at some point, but I realize I'm running out of time. So, let me just give a characterization of flatness in the type A and the affine type A. So, if Q is affine type A, and we actually need to consider the framed case. I consider QVD such that VI are positive for simplicity, but we can do that for more general case, and D is not zero. Then flatness of mu is equivalent to the following condition. EI dot V D minus Cartan matrix of Q act on V is greater than equal to minus one for all I subset of Q zero that are connected by edges. So it's like let's consider the following. So this kind of thing or this are examples of I connected by edges.
This is the condition that it's not bad.
Not bad, this should be zero, greater than or equal to zero.
Really? Okay.
And EI is the sum of EI, I and I.
Aren't these guys with the minus ones ugly?
Right?
Aren't these ones with the minus ones ugly? There's good, there's bad, there's ugly.
Yeah.
However, zero is good. And the minus one is bad.
I only remember the condition for the good. I only remember the goodness condition. Let me do a more explicit example. So ADHM so example, like A0 hat, this is ADHM. It's always flat. This implies that the quiver variety for ADHM quiver is always reduced. Well, we already know that by theorem of Gann-Ginzburg. Second case is just consider A1 and net K. And that condition, well, we only have one vertex here. So this is just K is minus 2n is greater than equal to minus 1.
I mean, this is the condition that you're in the row shift Dahman.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's not that bad. Okay. Any more questions?
This is one of these questions that maybe has a good answer, maybe it doesn't. You know, I feel like the argument you presented here the way you made it look doesn't make it seem that hard.
Yeah, but so, I omitted a lot of details here. Okay. So there's a lot of difficulties. I oversimplified the argument here.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'm running out of time.
You know what? What is it that you saw that Bellamy and Chudley did?
Right.
They just not try very hard?
They were looking at the reduced geometry. So, yeah. They care about more on the symplectic, on the Poisson geometry part.
Sure.
That's a very kind of fundamental question.
Well, yeah. I mean, certainly, you know, this work about the things being flat is from the points,
right? By Pearl.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, this is one of the corollary of Corriboli.
I mean, I suspect some of this is right that people tended to think about Nakajima quiver varieties where most of this stuff is much
easier. Right?
That is maybe.
Well, in particular, you never have to worry about the
visibility.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's always perfect. Mm-hmm. So that, like, get through.
I mean, you know, somehow, like, it's slightly shocking that it's only a few years ago that people actually figured out which quiver varieties have resolutions. And
yeah.
Part is because people were thinking about Kojima quiver varieties, and those always have a resolution because
the dimension is primitive.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a reason to believe it's always reduced, or would it just be nice?
Is that a counterexample?
Sure.
I know there is an example that pre-image of some zero is not reduced. But.
Sorry, maybe I'm confused. What conjecture?
EDF conjecture is that I'm there?
Something
that actually
bit okay. Well, I thought that was what you
heard. A proof for the flatness. When the moment is flat.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I think the general case is open.
Okay. Ah. So they actually don't, if the moment map isn't flat, you don't know whether it's reduced?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I relied heavily on the flatness condition to do the induction step.
Yeah, I think somehow I was assuming that for
some obvious reason.
Is it clear what the dimension? Of these varieties?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a formula for that. So when the moment mass is flat, then it's nice. So it's the dimension that we expect by counting the degree of freedom.
It can't be zero. Can you have non-trivial that zero?
For zero dimension? Yeah, like this. M zero. M zero zero, this is just a point.
Yes.
Yeah. And the moment map is flat because of that condition.
Yeah, I mean like these frame guys and you know, let's say the type A quakes, mm-hmm. they actually have a sort of correspondence with the representation theory. But of course, like this, we were just discussing this flatness condition corresponds to being dumb. So all of the other extreme weight spaces are not dumb. The moment is flat in those cases.
Great. Any other question? Comments? This one?
Yeah, it's like one of those physics index formulas, and the other side is, it seems like a highly non-trivial.
Yeah, we can produce some highly non-trivial, like combinatorial identities from these formulas.
Anything previously known? Any like classic combinatorial identities?
I actually haven't actually write down the explicit formula, but
you should get one. But like you know, it should have this flavor of like the vial denominator.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a reasonable guess. Yes. Yeah.
Is it known how to present that ring?
That one?
Yeah. The people who explicitly put it on a computer decompose mm-hmm. even part of the
key. If you want, you probably
in principle, yes.
It's important.
You can think about the global function as they all come from, you have your quiver, you go around some loop in your quiver, you get the trace of that corresponding
loop. And that's something
that obviously only depends on the representation.
It's going to change as you change the representation. And it's a
theorem of those generic functions.
I would need.
Presumably, there's some similar way of thinking about the prod.
It's just not coming to me.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like actually being next. Yeah.
Well, sometimes if this is smooth, at least you can count the dimension count the graded dimension using the localization.
So, you know, for example, like in this case of a Jordan quiver,
like
all of the functions come up.
Well, you can take trace
of going up. booby trick of remembering another vertex.
And going after that vertex. So there are also paths where you like start with
that vertex, you've managed to win around some number of times.
It's, you know, kind of very holographic, right? It opens strings and closed strings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure. Just maybe I'm being dumb, but I'm not seeing like what's the there must be some known way to think about the elements of the approach.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Thank you for coming.